Hey, everybody around the world. This is Sunshiny Day. Thank you for joining my podcast, Yamzy Day. You are my Sunshiny Day. So tonight we're going to get a little personal and we're going to talk about sex. I am going to be having this conversation with one of my friends. We're going to call her Madam X. I'm going to start this off going a little personal and why all of a sudden this is coming about. I decided to start really making a change in my life, and part of this was addressing things in my childhood that affected my younger sister because I was being abused, and this projected onto her, and I did not know this was going on at the time. Looking back, I know things happened now. Sexual abuse in general, verbal abuse, physical abuse. I was a mean kid. I was a mean person, but I was mean because of my environment, because I was forced to do sexual things for about 5 years, from about 5 to 11 years old. And I'm opening this conversation in hopes that it opens conversation and helps other people that are struggling with this to come forward and realize that it is not okay to be advanced on in any kind of level, sexual abuse, abuse in general. So yeah, I today wrote an apology message to my sister, not looking for credibility, not looking for anything really, but admitting the things that I did in my past, or acknowledging the things that I did in my past, and reaching out to her and letting her know that I remember these things and that she shouldn't be alone in this, and hopefully that this can help our relationship grow and we can heal, and instead of our past destroying us, we can help it build us and make us stronger and build the bridges that are not built and make a difference in this world. And it's not okay. It's not okay on any level, no matter who it is, no matter if you're a straight man, a straight woman, a transsexual, a tranny, a gay man, a lesbian. If no means no, and someone doesn't have to say no for it to mean no. It's not okay. It's not okay to physically assault anybody too, just because you view their opinions different than yours. This is where the change happens. This is why this conversation is starting, because we have to start the conversation. So everybody around the world, I would like to welcome to the show, Madam X. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for partaking on this adventure, in this vulnerable adventure. It's very vulnerable, I would say, for both of us.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. And I'm not really sure where we're going to go in this conversation. But, you know, thank you for allowing me to hold this space with you to have this conversation. And yeah, let's go on a journey.
Well, since we're starting this journey, my question for you is, do we want to talk about the light, fluffy stuff first, or do we want to talk about some serious stuff first?
You know, I'm definitely in a place where, you know, I've really been exploring the shadow.
Okay.
And I think it's probably a good idea that we start there and we can...
Do you want to elaborate on that? Explain some more on that?
Sure. Yeah. Sex, right? We're talking about sex.
We're talking about sex in all forms. Like,
we're talking about sex.
The good sex, the bad sex, all the sex.
All the sex, okay.
Abusive sex, pleasurable sex, all of it.
Yeah. I mean, just to touch a little bit on, you know, what you started out with, like, I personally am not a survivor of childhood sex abuse, but, you know, I am definitely a survivor of sexual abuse and sexual trauma. Mm-hmm. And that's been an interesting experience of how do we heal and how do we grow. And like you're talking about building these bridges, not just how do we build these bridges back to other people, but like, right, how do we bridge that? How do we build that bridge back to ourselves when someone else has burned it down?
Correct.
And how do we build it stronger, and how do we build it better,
right,
than before? And that's been a really long journey for me because, you know, I was violently raped by someone I was intimate with, I guess it would have been about 7.5 years ago. Wow. And, you know, just to get a little light and fluffy about it, you know, a couple months later, I was at a party and I was like, I fucked this dude before. I know this dude. Like, I know he's cool. I know it's, you know, it's good, you know.
Right.
Like, I'm just going to, like, see if I'm broken, right? I'm just going to make sure I'm not, like, super fucked up.
Right.
And so we did it. It was cool. I got off and I was like, sweet. Like, I'm good. Like, I'm not, you know, the only words I had to describe it was like, I'm not broken from that. Great. Right. And it was actually, you know, 5 years later that I was put in a situation where I actually was with someone that, you know, I'd been seeing for a few months at that point and was really comfortable with. Mm. And for some reason, you know, we were getting a little kinky and the talk, the dirty talk kind of, I almost unconsciously directed the script that was the narrative of that abusive situation. Mm. And all of a sudden it was like, boom, there it is. And like, yeah, I was deeply impacted and affected. And then it was like this whole moment of like, all of my sexual experiences for the past 5 years, all of a sudden clicking and making sense for me, that this had been happening the whole time, but I had no idea. It's like, I was like, why can't I have sex with someone like more than twice? I don't understand. And to realize that I had, you know, been disassociating in my sexual experiences, and I just took that to be like, oh, I don't like this person. I literally never want to see their face again. So like, snip, snip, like, see you never, like, bye. Like, I guess I just like have a really hard time like getting close to people, and I'm just not attracted to people for very long. And it took that experience of having this relationship kind of play out for a few months, mm-hmm. and having that triggering experience to realize how that had actually affected me. Mm. And that's something that I've been working through the past few years to try and come out to the other side and be capable of building relationships with myself and with others that I wasn't capable of doing.
Correct.
For a while there.
Right. I mean, this is so raw and so new. I don't know if there is another side. Like, I feel like we have to find our strengths in what happens and learn. It sounds morbid, but I feel like there's a lesson to be learned. I feel like this is, you know, this is a cross pass. Is this going to build us up and make us better, or is it going to bring us down and tear us apart, like ourselves individually? I think I could have gone down the dark evil road. I have enough reason to, but you know, one of the things I say a lot is it takes a lot of evil to be this good. I only know my good side and how to be so bright because I've experienced all my dark side, and I've experienced the dark side of life, and I see what raw humanity can be like when it's just up close in your face. Not saying other people don't, but I know what it takes to be good, and it's a conscious effort. Sex is a wild, crazy adventure. It's funny. It's thrown in our face constantly. People are always having babies because that's what happens with sex. Sex is always thrown in our face, and babies are coming out, and supermodels are having sex on TV with each other, and all these hot people are on TV and everything and blah, blah, blah. But then when it comes to sex in real life, we're not supposed to talk about it. We're not supposed to acknowledge it. We're not supposed to whatever. So people rage out. Being a drag queen, just because I put on a short skirt and put my boobs out doesn't give the right for anybody to touch me. It means that I'm putting my sexuality out there. And if I want you to have it, I'll let you have it. But I'm not going to let you just advance on me because you think you can. I'm not saying that I won't have advances because I know what I'm wearing and I'm conscious of it. But that doesn't give anybody the right to treat another person the way they want to because they think they're hot or they like their body. If you're really into that, then maybe you should get to know the person, because usually that person's already knowing what they look like, and the ticket to their heart isn't through their pants half the time. Personally, I love sex, but then again, it's a twisted thing, because I literally have been sexually active since I was 5 years old, so it's an ingrained part in me. I don't know what it's like not to be sexual. I've had sex since I was 5 years old, realistically. So what, that's 30 years of my life that I've been sexual. That is crazy. No one should have been sexually active for that long. No one. It happens all the time, and it's not right. I'm opening up this conversation, hoping to break down the barriers and have people reach out. Change has got to start somewhere. I am okay with being that voice for people that are too timid to step forward. I want to be that voice, but I don't want to not hear people's opinions and just throw it aside, because what's the point? I want everybody to be included in the conversation, because all our voices matter. Like, you can't paint the rainbow if you're not going to use the colors correctly. So, on a fluffier note, does size matter to you?
Does size matter to me? No, you know, that's a weird question. I don't know. Yes.
Can you elaborate on your yes and no?
It's kind of like, what's the goal, you know? Because I feel like we engage in sexual activity for different reasons. Sometimes it's because we think someone's really exciting and we want to get close to them physically, as well as mentally. Mm-hmm. And maybe the emotional component isn't even there. It's just you want to know this person intimately right now. And other times it's like this almost deeply personal and sacred act that you're sharing with this person who is on your level. And other times you're just like, this week was fucked up and I need to get my rocks off. Yep. Don't even care who the fuck you are.
Yep.
Don't care. Are we in this together? Are we on the same page?
Right.
Consent. Great. We're not using each other because we mutually have come together and agreed that this is what we would both like to do with our time right now.
Right.
But one thing that kind of came up for me while you were talking was, not just sex, like the act of sex, but like, what's our relationship with desire? Because I feel like our relationship with desire definitely impacts how we act, and not just like what are our desires, but mm-hmm. what is our relationship and what is our understanding of our desires? Like, you know, you're saying like, oh, when I'm performing and I'm out there, like, I also have that experience just existing in the world.
Right.
You know, I wore shorts today. I had some comments, you know, but that question of like, when someone crosses physical boundaries with you, you know, what is their relationship with their desire in that moment?
Right.
You know, and what is my relationship when my desire, when I'm treating someone like an object, you know?
Correct.
And what does that look like for us? And, you know, it makes me wonder that if we were more in touch with the motivation behind our desires, mm-hmm. would we act right? And is that part of the problem?
We could find out.
That, you know, I'm just talking this out, kind of, you know? It's just what came up for me.
Of course. I mean, speaking of desires, I mean, being one that actually has male genitalia, I get that craziness of craze, and I look at all the men, and I'm like, oh, they're all chickens, and I don't eat them all. But it's because I see them as meat, and I'm just like, yep, nope, we're doing that one tonight. Yeah, so I objectify men just as much as men objectify women. Part of it's like, yep, no, motherfucker, you ain't getting this down easy. But part of it's just because I'm horny. And, yeah, I need to get my rocks off, so then everything turns into chickens. And I look like that crazy monster that's like, yep, I'm gonna eat you.
But does that, like, play to power? And, like, your notion of power?
No, it's something that has become normalized in my brain because through my courses of years, I'm used to men seeing me as a sexual object. And so having that power play over the sexuality is what gets me off even more. If I know that you want it and I won't give it to you right away, I'm like, oh, and I have to, and you actually start begging for it, then I'm like, okay.
Okay, now we're getting to some juicy shit. Yes. That's what I'm talking about. Yes. Because power and playing with power is sexy, yes. Right?
Correct.
We love playing games. Like, mm-hmm. I'm relatively a straight shooter when it comes to, like, my heart. But when it comes to my pussy, like, that's a whole different story.
Exactly.
I'm like, no, we're gonna, you know, we're gonna find out who's the fox and who's the hen in this situation.
Right.
Like, because I'm down to play chicken.
Exactly. When you start talking to my heart, my legs are already spread. But like when you're trying to spread my legs, it's like, oh, well, now there's a game you have to play. And I, like, what is that movie? It's P.S. I Love You. It's Lisa Kudrow's character, and she always, what is it? She says, what's her three questions? Are you employed? Can you make money? Or, you know, it's like three important questions, and like, can you fuck or something like that. And I always like mentally go back to that. And I'm like, yep. Is that important? Okay, cool. But I've made up my own questions, you know.
What are your questions?
Well, on a superficial level, when we're talking about size, I'd say this kiddingly, but it's not really. If it's not a baby arm, I say this kiddingly. I'm not a size queen, but if it's not a baby arm, I'm not interested.
Okay. I kind of feel like I have a range. Like, I'm like, there is such a thing as too small, but there's also such a thing as too big.
Correct.
Like, if
I mean, I can't work tomorrow. Well, I don't know why I'm saying correct, but
if I can't work tomorrow because you just destroyed me, like, that's not going to work, you know? There has to be pleasure involved in this
situation.
I guess
I've never had that big.
Oh, well, you know.
I mean, I've had plenty big, but I mean, I guess I have, I don't know.
I think that also plays into, like, how into a person you are. Like, if I'm with someone, like, with someone.
Right.
They can be huge.
Right.
And I can handle it. Because there's a relaxation that comes with, like, mm-hmm. the comfort of, like, also having that level of emotional intimacy with someone. However, if you're just, like, trying to fuck tonight, like, there's been dudes where, there was one dude where he pulled it out, and I was just like, I don't even know what to do with this.
See, I would have gotten excited, but like, yes!
I was like, I mean, do I try to put it in my mouth?
Always.
I mean, it's not gonna fit, but do I try?
Just lick it, at least.
I mean, yeah, obviously. But
oh, sex. I'm not even sure where to go, but yeah, it's just crazy. But no, I've not had a dick that big. I mean, I've had plenty of big dick, but I've never had a dick been like, oh, that hurts. Hurts like for a second, but then you get used to it. But no. So, being a gay person and a gay man and a cis tranny, since we're going to use labels and stuff, I've had a lot of crazy sexual experiences. I'm sure you have. I'm going to share one. It's a little bit crazy. This is when I was living in New York City. And I had gone to a gay bar somewhere in Williamsburg or something. And I was going back to the A train. And I was, like, in the hood. And I was like, I don't know where I am, whatever. Well, happened to be I was on the Metro North platform. I wasn't on the A train platform at all.
All right.
And this is, like, 3:34 in the morning or whatever.
So it's the start of a good night, is what you're trying to tell me.
This is the end. This is a really bad ending or a really crazy ending to a good story or a great night that happened, whatever. So I'm sitting there, whatever. And it's just me, like, sitting on the bench. And then, out of nowhere, this guy, like, walks up. And so I have this thing about me where people just like to word vomit on me sometimes, a lot of the times, all the times. And this guy just starts, like, talking about me, about talking about his girlfriend and shit and blah, blah. And I'm just like, okay. But it was going that direction of, like, I think he's trying to come out to me or something or whatever. And so I remember we're right there and I was like, well, let's just fuck right here or something. And that's exactly what happened. Like, got up from the bench, pulled it out, stuck it in, got off. We turned around, didn't realize there was like 20 people watching us from like either platform. I was like, oh well. And then I went and got onto the A train, on the right train. But yeah, that's one of my crazier ones. I've had lots of crazier ones, but that one sticks out.
All right, so you're not shy about public sex, I take it.
No.
From that story. No,
not at all. Yeah. Sexual identity, you mentioned that earlier. I don't know how to elaborate on that one. Sexual identity is such a weird boundary, and it drives me crazy because there's no need for labels. There is, but there isn't. And energy just goes with energy. It doesn't matter what it's in. And the fact that I have to say that I'm gay drives me crazy because I feel like I'm a straight woman trapped in a gay man's body. And I feel like I'm always going for the men that I'm like, oh, right, because you don't actually see the physical being of what I actually look like or project in my head.
Right.
And I'm like, you know, and it's like I'm back to reality and quote-unquote reality.
Yeah. I don't know. I struggle with labels on that one, mm-hmm. You know? Because I don't feel like I have I don't think I have a preference, right, when it comes to what's in someone's pants, really.
Right.
You know, I didn't know that I wasn't straight until I was, I want to say, 16, and, I mean, newsflash, I literally only jacked off to lesbian porn. Still no idea I wasn't straight, right, until me and a girlfriend, we were drinking, and we were trying to, like, find something to do, but we were 16, and we, right, couldn't find anything to do, and then we were too drunk to drive. We were like, well, great, there goes our Saturday night. And she's like, well, I have a vibrator. We can just play with each other. And I was like, yeah, we could totally do that. And, yeah, but it was weird. Like, I never had thought about it until that point or considered it really. And that's something that I still don't really want to like sit with and like,
right,
you know, get out my colored Sharpies and label maker and like, right, type it out and slap it on me. Like, right, you know, like I fuck who I want to fuck. Like, that's it.
And that's how it should be. Like, labels drive me crazy. Like, yeah, I might get some flack-bash. What am I saying? I might get some backlash from this, but I'm going to say it. Gays are just be all-inclusive or whatever, but sometimes they're the worst, especially amongst themselves. Shocking. Yeah, it disgusts me sometimes. I'm like, why do I have to be called gay? Like, half of you guys look at me and you're just like, oh yeah, you're cool, but don't talk to us. I mean, what's cool about that? You make me really want to be gay now. But it's not just the gays, it's everything. And it's like, why can't we just be all inclusive of each other and all of our sexual identities? You should be attracted to people for more than just their physical beings. And that's a should. I'm not saying that that isn't part of it. But
I think a lot of times there is more to it than that. You know,
I hope so.
Find someone extremely attractive. Be like, that is a very lovely person to view. Mm-hmm. I'm glad they are in my field of vision right now. Thank you. You are a vision of beauty and grace. However, would I get in bed with that person?
Right.
No, because we are not vibing like that. And sometimes I can have someone walk into a room and I'm like, this person isn't what I would describe as my type or even necessarily like conventionally attractive to societal standards. Right. But there's something about their energy that I'm like, what are you doing tonight? Like,
right,
you want to come back to mine? That's not really anything I can. There's no formula to that. It's just energy.
Right, correct. And that's how it should be. Always. Okay, so to get a little deeper or deep again, from a woman's standpoint, do you have any thoughts or advice for women that have been abused or going through abuse, or how they should reach out? How should they start dealing with that? How should they start standing up?
You know, I don't really have advice. The only thing I can really speak to is my personal experience, you know, because it is something that's so personal and so individual, mm-hmm, for everyone. You know, for me, part of my process with, you know, my most violent sexual assault, because there have been many in my life, was that I did take that person to court and get a restraining order against them. And part of that was reclaiming my power in terms of being like, you need to know that there can and will be consequences to your actions. And part of my motivation for that was definitely spite. I was angry, mm-hmm, and I wanted to take something from him because he had taken from me, you know? But another level of that was that I don't want anyone to ever have to go through the experience that I just went through again. And it did take a lot of support, mm-hmm, and I had to be honest with people and be vulnerable and share what happened to me. And part of that experience was also, you know, being institutionalized. You know, I did a nice little 72-hour vacation. And that was part of my process. And I mean, that was important at the time for me to reclaim my power and feel like that he couldn't take everything from me. But beyond that, I mean, it's like, it's a meandering river. Like, I never know where that experience and the scars it's left are going to take me and when it's going to show up. And, you know, I do just want to put out there for anyone who might be listening in New Orleans that STAR offers free counseling for survivors of domestic and sexual abuse of any gender. So that's something I really would like to put out there. They do great work and they're a very important resource to the city of New Orleans. And I appreciate that they are there. And I have many friends who have benefited from their free services.
Awesome. That's good. I should probably check in that too.
Did you not know that?
I did not know about it.
Well, I'm really glad I brought it up then.
Right, me too.
Because someone else here might be listening that also doesn't know that.
Exactly.
I didn't know that until someone told me that.
See? I mean, we've covered a lot in a little time. You know, this is not just one conversation. This is just a conversation starter. I'm leaving the floor open for you, Madam X, at the moment.
Are we closing this down? Are you asking me to close this out?
No,
oh, okay.
Not necessarily.
I was like, all right, what's going on?
So one quote, so a quote that I like from Rumi, is the wound is where the light enters you. And that helps me focus on the positive because that helps me build from my weaknesses into my strengths. Without the light, you can't have the dark. Without the dark, you can't have the light. So it's a yin and yang. I'm learning to embrace what has happened sexually to me throughout my life. And instead of that tearing me apart and other people close to me apart, I'm learning how to empower us to make a difference, which is one reason we're starting this podcast and conversation starter. I lost my train of thought of where I was going on that.
The thing I like about that quote is that...
Oh, right. That's where I was going.
It's acknowledging the wound.
Correct. Because you have to acknowledge your wounds in order to be able to heal. Because if you don't... If you're in denial that anything ever happens to you, you're not going to be able to face the healing process properly.
Well, yeah. And it's also like... It's never not going to be there.
Correct.
It's always going to be there.
Correct.
We can't... I mean, we can, and I've definitely been in positions where I absolutely have been in denial about what happened to me. And the funny thing about denial is that, you know, it works until it doesn't anymore. And that's kind of it, is, you know, denial kept me safe and help me live my life as a functioning human being out there in the world for years and years, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it's when you're ready. And to look at that stuff and explore that wound and get in touch with yourself. Like, do I need Neosporin? Or does this, you know, need to be surgically cauterized right now?
Right.
So I really like that aspect of that quote. I'm sorry, I didn't know what to say.
You're fine. Sorry, folks, I had to pee. And part of my healing process is I am acknowledging what has happened. So I'm gonna give you some irony. A few people know this, but I'm gonna open this up. We're gonna cause some controversy, right? So I was not born Sunshine, but it was a name that I was given a long time ago by someone else. I did not name myself. I also had a golden retriever growing up named Sunshine. To make my life even more fluffier and Sunshine Rambio sounding, my name is Sunshiny Day. I grew up in a place called Paradise Hills in New Mexico. I can't make this shit up. And so this is a good chuckle, shock, awe, I can't believe I just heard that kind of shit. And this will give you some food shock for thought. So the guy that molested me that lived across the street, well, he happens to have a name that is also the same as a famous actor. And as I started growing up and getting older and everything, and even in Mexico, even in through New York, and then especially when I moved down to New Orleans, everybody, like, at my old job, especially, it was like every other day, or every day, I would get the question and be like, are you related to John Goodman? Are you John Goodman's son? And let me tell you, when your molester's name is John Goodman, when you really admire an actor that is named John Goodman, and then when someone asks you continuously, different strangers, hey, are you related to John Goodman? It fucks with you. And you're just like, huh, well, okay, universe, what am I supposed to do with this? It's funny, and it's funny because I literally ran into John Goodman one time, literally physically. I was working at the Applebee's in Las Cruces in college, and the highway there, I forget what it is, but it, you know, it connects to like Louisiana and all that, Highway 10 or something. And I was working there, and so like they were just like, him and his friend or bodyguard or something were just in there for lunch or something or dinner. And I didn't even, like, I was just in the zone of doing my thing, and I didn't know it was him. And everybody was like, oh yeah, that's like John Goodman or whatever. And I was like, oh cool, whatever, blah, blah. And the way Applebee's is set up is they have that U-shaped bar, and they have that cross between back where customers and servers and everything can go. It's really weird and confusing. And so I was like crossing back there, and this big old guy, I literally ran into him, like was crossing too. And I was like, oh, hi. And I was like, you're John Goodman. And I was bigger, way bigger back then. And he made me feel like I was really small. And yeah, I know. And it's funny that I've ran into him. But yeah, when you're continually told that, it fucks with your head. And you're just like, And I have nothing against the John Goodman actor. I think he's amazing. I think he should keep doing what he's doing. It's just, it's very fucks with your psyche. Yeah, so I'm just giving you some food shock for thought on that one.
I feel like that's speaks so much to the experience of trauma, though. Mm-hmm. You know, normally it's more, I think a lot of people's experiences are more subtle than literally constantly people coming to you with your abuser's name. Correct. You know, it's more subtle than that, but there were years there when you know, I happen to work in the service industry as well, and there were years there where someone would walk into my restaurant or walk into my bar, and immediately I'd be like, oh my God, is that him? Just something about their physicality or the way they actually looked or their energy. And and it's a trip, you know, and that speaks to how trauma affects our brains mm-hmm. and our wiring in ways that we're just kind of beginning to understand
right.
on a scientific level. And I think that's one exciting thing that we're seeing, this crossover, you know, between, you know, two different branches of science, which is psychology and neuroscience, right. you know, like, I personally know people who have made tremendous progress with sexual trauma using EMDR, which is super weird. It's like your therapist makes you talk about the terrible thing and then kind of shines a light in your eyes and you like hold some vibrating things. That's my understanding. I haven't actually gone through it.
Okay.
I haven't actually gone through it, but it's this totally weird thing that right. actually you're like, What is this weird thing you're making me do right now? Right. And also you're making me talk about the terrible thing. But actually what, you know, my understanding of the science of trauma in the brain is that actually those neuro pathways get strengthened by trauma.
Hmm.
And that you have these strong responses to things that you find triggering, such as your abuser's name,
Christ.
Or in my case, like the wrong pair of glasses, and
right.
and that then that neural pathway again gets strengthened due to your physical response. So basically what EMDR is attempting to do is to loosen up that built up neural pathway and open up alternate pathways so that you can have a different embodied physical response to a stimulus
right.
that is related to your trauma.
And this is going to be me being my sunshiny self outreach out there, but I mean, we literally have the power to do that with our minds. Even without that assistance, we have the power to do that. But yes, I think that's an amazing idea. And this is a good idea of what we're doing too, because if the conversation never starts, how can it ever start? You know, and I think sex, like you said earlier, should be something that's talked about. I think we should talk about sex on all sorts of levels.
Well, yeah, and I think there's a lot of, I think the problem with like talking about sex is that there's a lot of cultural shame attached to it. Like you're saying, like we have all these billboards and every, you know, it's just in mm-hmm. our face mm-hmm. constantly. But when we actually get to the brass tacks of, you know, American society, there is so much shame
right.
Around sex. And I feel like we kind of see, we don't see as much nuance as I would like to see in conversations about sex. It's kind of like free love, be as freaky as you want,
right.
or like abstinence only sex ed. Like,
right.
And where's the middle ground? And how do we just have these conversations like we're talking about where we're going to dinner? How is it just, how do we get to the point where it's not taboo? I'd like to talking about sex as not a taboo.
Right, we're creating that. We are doing that right now.
I mean, we're trying to.
Yes.
We're trying to.
And we're doing.
We are doing it. Thank you.
Yeah, sex should not be taboo. It's part of humanity. It's ingrained in us. It's whether you're gay, straight, no matter what you are, it's this animal instinct to continue your life, so to speak. But it's also, it's also more than that. I mean, that's a very raw, basic instinct of sex. One instinct of it, but
I don't know, though. Like, do you think that's what we're going for? Because I feel like sex is its own beast. It's just that that's the result. Course, right. And it's this separate mechanism that they just, like, had to install in us to get us to, like, make babies at all. Because right. babies are a pain, right?
Well, and that's, I think that's where... I think that's where some kind of direction is headed is we don't need to have sex to have kids anymore at the moment. Like, we are overpopulated. I'm not saying that people shouldn't have kids, but you need to really think about having a kid, especially nowadays, especially if you're worried about affecting the planet and affecting other people. You should take care of the people that are already here before bringing another one into the world. Childbirth isn't easy, and I don't think it was meant to be for a reason. Because we are actually a conscious human being. We are conscious of what we're doing on this planet, or we are have that ability to be anyway. And I think that childbirth, because we know how painful it is a conscious decision. And if I was a real woman with a real vagina, I would not want to put myself through that. It doesn't, I even to continue any kind of whatever, I would go adopt 5 kids before I would go through that. I'm good. And I don't have that desire, maybe that's what it is. I don't have that desire in me to have someone be blood related to me to continue my name. I would rather go help someone that needs help than be like, oh, okay, I'm gonna start a new life that doesn't necessarily need to be started when you can't even take care of the life that's already here. I don't have that desire in me, because if you can't help the life that's already here, what's the point of bringing life into life that's not quality?
Okay, so this has totally made me go full circle. Like, what came up for me while you were just talking was, you know, first of all, desire, right? We're back on this concept of desire, mm-hmm. and what is desire and what is our relationship with desire. And I don't really want to speak about kids because I feel a lot of the same ways you do. Correct. I don't really care. I don't want to talk about it. irrelevant. It's called a fucking IUD. Right. But, you know, what is our relationship to desire? And also, you know, you're talking about, like, taking care of people who are already here and, like, not feeling the need to propagate our name or pass on our genes, which, again, speaks to this notion of power and, like, are we meeting people as equals, you know? Right. And I feel like the notion of, like, adopting is, especially if someone's, you know, if a kid's a little older, you know, that really is an experience where mm-hmm. you're coming to that both as conscious individuals and on some level making that decision together.
Correct.
To embark on that journey. And that's something I'd like to see more of in our sexual relationships. That we, sure, we can play fuck games. We can play with power.
Mm-hmm.
However, always with the understanding that that's some element of desire and fantasy
right.
that we're creating right now. However, we are meeting as equals underneath the accoutrements of, like, what we find sexy.
Right. Desire. A street carnate desire.
Taking it there.
I don't know. I so many questions and so many not. Mentally at the moment, I'm exhausted.
Same.
But it's good. I think we've made some kind of progress. Do you have anything else you'd like to say?
Not particularly. I feel like we did a pretty good job. Yay.
Yes, yay.
We did a thing.
We did a thing.
Proud of us. And I guess just thanks again for wanting me to take this journey with you.
Of course.
Thank you.
Thank you for partaking.
You caught me when I was really tired, which was a good thing. Because, I don't really talk about this stuff as openly as I wish we all did because of, you know, stigma. And I also don't want to deal with, like, slapping away a bunch of unwanted dick, etc. Right. You know, I'm just trying to have a conversation. Christ. This isn't an invitation.
Christ.
Can we just be real for a moment? So it's thank you for giving the forum to have this conversation without any sort of interference from some errant dick flying at me. Thank you.
Yeah, of course. if you ever want to have another conversation podcast, I would like to have you back, Madam X. Everybody around the world, this is Sunshiny Day. Thank you for listening to Yamsy Day. You are my Sunshiny Day. Remember to feed the love. You beget what you beget. I never said it was easy to feed the love, but it's a greater reward than feeding the hate. Let's talk about sex. Get raw, get personal, but realize there's boundaries. And when someone says no, whether it's verbally or not, no means no. And that means no for anything, not just sex, or a whole platitude of things.
Boundaries are great, yo.
Boundaries are great. Well, everybody around the world, this is Sunshiny Day. Thank you for listening to Yamsy Day. We'll catch you on the flip side.